What's going on, my gorgeous ghost geeks? On this episode of the Warped Reality Podcast, we talk a little science and speak with ghost hunter and host of the Paranormal Hearts Podcast and great friend of the show, Kat Ward. So let's go hunting. I'm sorry, I ran out of stuff to say. Let's go.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Warped Reality Podcast, Season 2, Episode 30 of the show. I am your host, as always, Ghost Joe. So, as I said in the intro, in a few minutes, we will be hearing from Kat Ward from the Paranormal Hearts Podcast. It's been a long time coming, man. As every time we tried to schedule something like this podcast collaboration that we did, it always fell through for one reason or another, whether it was on my end, her end, just time in general. It was just crazy. But we even had technical issues in this show, but we were like, no, we have to keep going because otherwise this thing is never going to, you know, go through. Maybe something or someone didn't want us to collaborate. That could be it too. You know, I've had some weird things go on when I'm doing the show. By the way, this interview, it was originally edited down to almost 2 hours by Kat. Then I had actually edited it down even more for this show, mainly because much of it was me telling my personal experiences. And, you know, you guys have all heard that before. It's just me rambling a lot. So I kind of cut down on my rambling a little bit, you know, to not bore you guys and to give you more Kat Ward, because that's pretty much the interesting part of the interview. So, and I know you guys have heard my stories many, many, many times by now. Yeah, so, you know, it's the end of January, and honestly, I feel like time is moving really, really rapidly. You know, it's almost Valentine's Day. And by the way, I don't know about where you live, but literally the day after Christmas, all the stores by me had Valentine's Day stuff already. I mean, it's pretty sickening. Speaking of Valentine's Day stuff, I did my Warped Reality segment on the Paranoia Radio podcast this month, all about the lore of Valentine's Day, which it's out now. So please check that out. It's the Paranoia Radio podcast. It's a great episode where Troubles Garcia and Big Tank talk about the dangers of fluoride. Isn't that the stuff that you use to brush your teeth? Well, there's more to it than that. So definitely check out, the Paranoia Radio podcast. They drop some crazy knowledge on everyone. So yeah, check it out on all of the major podcasting platforms and your favorite podcasting platform. Yeah. So now let's get into some, well, I guess I can't call it out of this world news, more like in this world news. So don't freak out, but you know, whenever somebody starts like that, like don't freak out. It actually does make you freak out. Anywho, everyone knows that in the center of the Earth is a huge molten rock core, right? That it's constantly spinning, or it was spinning. You see, the core, which has a 758-mile radius, is 5,200 degrees Celsius and 9,392 degrees Fahrenheit. That's a hot core, man. That's real hot core. You know, that's like hardcore, but not. It's hot core. Anyway, it's actually hotter than the sun's surface. That's insane. It stopped spinning the other day. But don't be alarmed, because this actually happens approximately every 70 years, where it will stop or pause spinning. And then when it resumes spinning the opposite direction. So the last time this happened was in the early 70s, actually. So who knows? Maybe some good music will be back due to the changes. You know, because the 70s and 80s music was... I sound really old. That's crazy. So I'm not going to take up any more of your time. Here's the interview podcast collaboration I did with Paranormal Hearts podcaster Kat Ward. I met Kat through our mutual friend and awesome contributor, and now, Warped Reality Podcast family. Chris Whitehouse, who actually also has a book out on Amazon. If I haven't, you know, discussed this before, it's called Into the Darkness, Becoming a Ghost Hunter. So definitely go out and buy it. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome book, and you're going to love everything about it. So go buy it. So Kat is a paranormal investigator for Canadian Supernatural Research Society. She's a sensitive, as well as being an audiobook narrator. She is awesome, and I hope you enjoy the collaboration. So here it is.
I'm Ghost Joe. I'm here with Kat, and we're doing a podcast collaboration right now for the Warped Reality Podcast and Paranormal Hearts Podcast. So there you go.
And I'm Kat Ward from Paranormal Heart. So it's nice to finally meet you.
Yeah, face to face. That's great. Yeah, we've been planning this for months now, so it's
at least 2 months.
Yeah,
just can't seem to get our schedules to coincide.
No,
well, especially no. You have such a your schedule is brutal compared to mine.
It's ridiculous too, because I live, when I'm leaving work, it takes me sometimes 3 hours to get home. I'll leave work at 4 p.m. and I'm not getting home till 7 p.m. Then I have to eat real quick. Then I go to sleep just to come back to work a few hours later. So it's
brutal.
Nuts. So I actually do the majority of a lot of my interviews when I'm on vacation. Most time. There's even some interviews that, and I feel really bad because he was a really, really good guy. I did this interview with this guy. We talked for like 2 hours. Really, really nice guy. Very, very knowledgeable. And I never aired his interview because I've never had the time to really edit the interview.
Well, maybe you can do it now.
Yeah, now I could. I have another interview that I'm putting out on the Christmas episode with John Wright. That he works in a paranormal museum about a half hour from where I live. And I met him there, and really, really good guy, really knowledgeable. He's actually a history teacher too.
That's amazing.
So he's a history teacher. He's a paranormal investigator. He's like a Bigfoot enthusiast, like UFO. Actually, and the craziest part is that he volunteers, or he's a MUFON investigator.
That's amazing.
So
I may need to meet him.
yeah, he's a great, and you know what? I was his first podcast interview. He's never done it before, so I would definitely pass him. Great, great guy.
The Paranormal Museum. That's the thing about the States and Canada. We don't have cool shit like that in Canada. We don't. We have lots of haunted locations, you know, museums and stuff like that, but we don't have paracons and things like that. Which it's really sad because I really want to go to some.
Well, I'll tell you, when I moved upstate, because I live in upstate New York, when I moved upstate, I was really excited because I did some research on, you know, the area and stuff. And I found out that the Warren's Museum was literally 20 minutes from me because it's in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And I'm in upstate New York and it was right there. And I'm like, oh my God, I want to go. And it's closed forever. Like, damn.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why
they closed.
Is it closed?
They never really said this is my theory. I think they closed it because, well, both of the Warrens passed away.
Yeah.
Right. So they're not around anymore. I believe they closed it mainly because all these Conjuring movies are coming out. So their house is on a residential street, which is where the museum is. So I'm sure, just like the Amityville house, they get tons of people driving past there, taking pictures, hanging out. And the neighbors just got pissed off at it, you know, too mad about it, made complaints, and they had to shut it down. And because the Warrants aren't alive, they couldn't fight to keep it open, you know?
Oh, you think the Warren Foundation would be able to do something?
Or their I believe it's their nephew that runs everything now.
Chris?
You would think the nephew.
Oh, no, that's grandson.
Tony Spira.
Oh, okay.
But I guess he didn't have the pull or something to keep it open. But that's why I was excited. Last year, I went to my first Paracon. He had a lot of the Warren stuff there from the museum. And I knew I had to go to that. It was really cool. I took a picture with Annabelle, the real one and the movie one, which is cool. And a few of the other haunted items that they had there, which was pretty awesome.
How close were you able to get to the artifacts? Because I know, are they all encased in glass?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, some of them, I mean, of course, obviously the Annabelle one was, and a few others were encased in glass. Some of the other ones were just kind of out of reach, you know, a little bit out of reach behind, you know, a rope. Mm. But no, very close, actually. Pretty close. And, you know, the convention itself was great. I met a lot of people there. And I think I did, I ended up doing a lot of interviews behind that too, because I went there, I went to every single table, you know, networked and stuff. And everybody was really, really nice. So I was happy with the way that worked out.
Was it this year? Was it this year's Paracon you said, or was it last year?
It was last year's. Okay. And I'll tell you, I could have went to this year's, but I was a little upset because last year's was the first Paracon. So I believe the Warrens Museum part, because the Warrens Museum was different than the convention. It was right next door, but it was a separate price. The convention itself, I think, was 50. And then the museum was like 20 or 25 last year. Now, I guess because he saw how many people went to the museum, now it's like $70 to get into the museum. It was something like that. It was like he jacked up the price. Like, you know, I just don't have the
money. But yeah,
no, I can't blame him either. But I couldn't afford it this year.
Yeah,
everybody was there for Annabelle. You know, everybody goes there.
So do you sense things from items? Because I'm just wondering, having all those artifacts in one spot, were you able to pick up any energies off of anything?
I couldn't. I mean, I don't really pick up things from, like, for me, I don't really have that kind of, I guess you would say, ability, but I feel like it was too crowded. You know, I don't think you would be able to pick up anything because it was just so crowded in there. And my thing that I'm always able to do is say, hey, if there's something here, give me a sign. And I always get a sign. Always.
Nice.
Always. That's why I don't do it anymore, you know, because I have my own, you know, my own house with my kids and stuff. And I don't need, you know, knocks on my door over here and things falling behind me, because that happens. And actually, that's one of my questions, actually, too. When you've been recording, has anything weird or paranormal happened to you at all while you've recorded, like an interview or anything?
Not to me, but I have had one guest in particular say, oh my God, I picked up an EMF and I went in and I actually heard a voice and I thought, oh wow, like. And I've had some people message me and say when they're listening to the show that, yes, I thought I heard something. So there are the odd things that I'll pick up on the audio after the fact, but nothing during recording. Now I'm looking around now. Watch, things are going to think things going to happen. That wasn't really an invitation.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why, like, that's why I don't stick with things for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, when I talk about the black eyed children, mm-hmm. when you give them enough recognition and attention, that's when they apparently appear. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to talk about them a lot because I don't want them knocking on my door, you know?
Yeah. Saturday Night Live had a skit years ago with David Acora from Most Haunted, from back in the day when it first started. It wasn't really David Acora. It was one of the actors from the show. So there's David and two people walking into a haunted location. And then the David character was rather gassy, so he farted. So the two people, like the audio guy and then the other person, are like, oh, did you hear that? And he's like, no, it's okay. It's okay. It was nothing. They're like, let's play it again. And then they play it and they're like, it sounds like Roger. So, you know, it's like, no, it wasn't, you know. So it's just funny how, you know, sometimes you'll pick up something on audio that's really nothing, but everybody, myself included, I want to hear something, but
right.
I kind of get disappointed if I actually don't hear something or if I say, if I thought I heard, here's Roger, for example, and I play it for someone else and they don't hear the same thing. I'm kind of disappointed, you know, because we do so badly want to get, you know, something really good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. I give Chris Whitehouse so much credit because, like, his like whole thing is the Ouija board. Mm-hmm. That's his main form of communication and investigation is with that Ouija board. And I'm like, I don't know how you do it. Like, yep. I had one experience with the Ouija board when I was like 19 years old, and I'll never do it ever again after that.
Yeah,
you know.
So for you listeners, anyone who knows about my show knows that I usually have tech issues and did not disappoint. So yeah, lost internet, screen went black and I'm like, oh no. But I am blaming Chris. Sorry, not Chris. We're talking about Chris. Ghost Joe, because he was talking about demons.
Definitely my fault. Always my fault. Always. So why podcasting and why the paranormal?
Paranormal's always fascinated me since I was young. I grew up on the east coast of Canada in a province called New Brunswick. And the three-story apartment building that we lived in, we lived on the top. And it was a very old building. This is where I had my first paranormal experience that I actually remember. The building was so old that it would, the basement used to have a coal furnace to heat the building. But by the time we moved in, it was electric heat. But I saw the Hat Man in my room for many, many years, but he was short. He was about 4 feet tall. Now I had someone a couple of years ago ask me, how do you know he was 4 feet? And I said, well, I can compare him to the height of my dresser that I had in my room. And, you know, even today, my dad says, you know, you used to have lots of night terrors in that apartment building. I would wake up, you know, screaming, the man in the closet, man in the closet. I had a big walk-in closet in my room. And so that, you know, that terrified me, but it also intrigued me. And growing up, just being sensitive a little bit and growing up, just loved the paranormal. When I first found out about Ed and Lorraine Warren, I was fascinated. It's like, oh my God, these are my heroes. They're doing amazing. Like, this is what I want to do. Now that I'm older, I don't want to do that. Not to that level anyways. Fast forward a few years, a friend of mine, my very first interview that I did on a paranormal talk show was Odd to Newfoundland with John Mallard. And very first interview, I was terrified. And I did a couple other interviews on other shows after that. And I had family and friends say, hey, you did a good job. You should start your own podcast. And my reply was always, hell no. So when I mentioned that to my husband, he says, well, why don't you start a podcast? I'm like, well, that's something that other people do. That's not something that I do. And he's like, well, why not? You love the paranormal. You love talking with people. Why not? And I started thinking, I was like, you know, why not? Because being an investigator, I realized that a lot of people, they're traumatized when they have a paranormal encounter, especially if their significant other doesn't believe them. I mean, we've seen families break up because of it. You know, one person thinks they've gone crazy and the other spouse probably agrees with them because their spouse is witnessing something that they're not witnessing. So I wanted to provide a safe space for somebody who wanted to talk about their paranormal encounters. If they don't want to talk about their paranormal encounters, at least they can listen to know that they're not the only person in the world having these things happening. It's happening around the world. So that's the main reason why I wanted to start a podcast. It's just to let people know that you're not alone. And the Hat Man encounter that I had as a kid, I only found out years later that other people were seeing the Hat Man, but the taller one, not so much for the shorter version. But so podcasting like yours and mine and so many other great ones out there just kind of brings people together, I find, to know that, yeah, there's other people having these encounters too. I'm not totally crazy, you know, if they are, so am I, and so is everybody else. But no, that's the main reason why I wanted to start a podcast.
Wow. All right. Yeah, I actually, you know, like you, I've always been interested in the paranormal. I had some experiences when I was younger, all the way up until, you know, recent times. But like you, I've always, you know, been interested in it. And I've always been the type, like, even with music or anything like that, I've always wanted to share my enthusiasm with people on mm-hmm. things that I'm interested in, you know, like, oh, you got to hear the song, or, oh, you got to see this movie, you know? So I've always been about that. And I'm like, you know what? And I actually got started listening to the Monsters Among Us podcast. And I don't know if you've heard Monsters Among Us.
No, I don't think I have.
It's a great, great podcast.
I have to check that out.
Actually, Derek Hayes is the host, and he's actually on all of these Travel Channel, you know, shows now, you know, hosting.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and his podcast is great because it's all, he's not even the star of the podcast. He has people calling in and telling their paranormal experiences. And that's always what I always wanted to do with it, you know, was to have people call in and tell me their experiences, you know, kind of like you, like I wanted to provide a safe space for people to talk about their experiences. And unfortunately, I don't get too many people calling in. Not, you know, the first season, a few people called in. Nowadays, I don't know what's going on. I guess people are out now. People were inside when I first started in the pandemic, but yeah. Everybody's out. Nobody wants to call anybody anymore.
Maybe.
But how'd you get in touch with them? How do you know those guys? Brian Bowden.
I in El Santariga. I think it was through the Mallard Report with Jim Mallard. He's on Tuesday nights at 9 Eastern. He has live shows. And I heard these two guys on there and I thought, wow, these guys actually sound legit. Like they were amazing. They were funny. You know, they just played well off of each other. And I think we became friends. Yeah, I'm there. Oh, no, don't. Did you lose me again? Me. Oh, okay.
No, that wasn't me. That's my recording.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, yeah, so, no, and so we became friends. And then I had them on my show a couple of times together, individually. They have mentored me as well during my podcast. You know, anytime, especially in the beginning, because it's been 5 years now for my show. And in the beginning, they were kind of leery, especially Al, to give me tips. And like, well, I don't want you to hate me, Kat. I'm like, I never could. I'm not the type of person who offends easily. So if you have constructive criticism about my show, please tell me because I need to improve. So now, you know, Brian used to help me an awful lot with my promo banners in the beginning. I would send him the photos and he'd do everything in like, I swear, 2 minutes off of his phone. I'm like, how the hell are you doing this? But no, they still, they're such great guys. I really hope to meet them in person someday. But yeah, long story short, it was through the Mallard Report.
Oh, okay. Yeah, actually. And I was very close to meeting Al a few weeks ago because he had done a Bigfoot seminar.
Yeah.
Like literally about 5 minutes from my house.
Nice.
And I guess he must do things there or he, you know, there's a few things that go on there quite often, the Putnam Valley Library or something like that it's called. And I live in Putnam County.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it was very, very close to me and just unfortunate I couldn't make it because I was working that morning and I had to go home. You know, one of those days I told you about it, I had to run home, eat, go to sleep and then get back to work. So I unfortunately couldn't make it, but I definitely... You know, they invited me along to, you know, they're like, yeah, anytime you want to go to like an investigation, a tag along, you know, let us know. I'm like, oh, definitely. I definitely go with those guys, you know.
You're going to have lots of fun, lots of laughs. Oh, my God. I love Brian's dog man encounter where he tried to show his dominance, so to speak. It's like, what are you doing peeing in front of a dog man? Like,
yeah,
he's got brass ones, that man.
Yeah, no, but both of those guys are great. Great. I mean, I had so much fun, you know, talking to those guys.
How did you meet them?
It was, and it's funny too, because I want to say it was on one of the Facebook groups or something like that I was on. And I saw somebody comment or something like that. And I'm like, who are these guys? I was looking for paranormal groups that were in the New York area.
Okay. Yep.
And, you know, they have all these New York, you know, Dogman chapter, UFO, Bigfoot, all that stuff. And then I went to one of the websites and I saw that they did everything, all of those, you know? So then I reached out to them like that. And it was funny because, and then I saw that they've been on your show a whole bunch of times. I'm like, oh, she's going to think I'm like stealing guests or something.
God, no.
You know, it just happened that I came across them when I was looking for New York things because they're close to me. You know, well, maybe not Brian anymore, but Al is pretty close. So, you know, so that's how I actually, how I met them. But yeah, great guys. I mean, sometimes I'll even text them still, you know, I'll message Al or whatever. Funny, both of them funny guys. Like, I don't know if you heard the interview. Did you hear my interview?
I heard
with them?
Yep.
Okay. I had to throw in that stupid, like, and I said to my dad before, because I talked to my dad a lot about this stuff, and I'm like, yeah, dad, I'm like, I'm doing this interview. You know, I know how to write questions really well. I said, but I don't really know these guys. So I don't know how the Bigfoot, you know, is Bigfoot as blurry in person as he is in all the pictures.
I had love, you know, that.
If they're going to take that good, you know, he's like, oh, I don't know. I said, you know what? I said, they're New Yorkers. They'll get over it. You know, they'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know, they ended up liking the joke. So I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, but
I howled when I heard that. I was listening, you know, had my earbud in, and I think I was actually at work. Yeah, I was at work folding laundry. I work at the front desk of a hotel, but the shifts that I work, we help the housekeeper. So we fold laundry. And yeah, I had one earbud in so I could still hear what's going on. And I'm laughing. I thought, that's the best question ever.
I try and stick some humor into it, because you know what it is for me? I take the subject matter seriously. Mm-hmm. I really do, but I don't take myself very seriously. So I try and add different jokes. Like my way of hosting things, and it was funny because going into it, I said, you know, I said, everybody has somebody that they kind of want to emulate with this sort of thing, you know, whether it's a news broadcaster or something like that. I want to emulate Conan O'Brien. I want to be like, Conan O'Brien is one of the funniest guys I've ever seen in life.
Yep.
I said, and Conan has like this self-deprecation type thing where, you know, I've even stolen some of the things and put it on the podcast where I'm like, you know, one of the things that he does on his show, and I've stolen it from my podcast, is he'll say, yeah, I have a great show for you tonight. All my other shows were crap. You know, like stuff like that. So I've used that with my podcast before because I'm like, that's hysterical, you know, but yeah, that's why I've always loved his style. And, you know, the man worked at Saturday Night Live. He was a writer on Saturday Night Live when it was one of the most funniest casts ever.
I've forgotten about that.
Yeah, he was the writer in the 90s with like Chris Farley and David Spade and Mike Myers. And
when they were good.
When they were really good. And he was one of the writers. And he was also a Simpsons writer.
Yep.
So, you know, he's... I was very, very upset when all that Tonight Show drama happened to him. I was really upset because he deserves that way more than Fallon. But
yeah.
But going back to the paranormal thing, because go off in tangents and stuff.
I've been saying for years, one of the things that fascinates me the most about paranormal, in the beginning, I used to think the paranormal just was strictly ghosts. But then I realized, no, it branches out to cryptids and UFOs and Mandela effect. It's just anything weird. But what really fascinates me the most is this stuff happens around the world. And it doesn't matter what religion or nationality, what skin color, whatever. Everybody for how long now has had some kind of paranormal experience. I mean, when you look at various cultures, stories, you know, that have been passed on for generation after generation about weird things. It's just something's out there. I mean, how can you not know or believe that this stuff isn't real? I mean, something's going on. What is it?
Absolutely. I really feel like we're getting closer and closer for the government to finally be like, yeah, you know, there's aliens, you know, and we know where they are. They're around, you know, like I know we're getting closer to it. They're softening us up for it. You know, when you think about it, because the way I'm seeing it is that, and somebody, I think at my job had said this to me, and he made a lot of sense when he said it. He goes, think about it. He's like, many years ago, he goes, this was a joke. He's like, the on the news, whenever they would talk about a UFO sighting, it was a joke.
Yep.
It was like, oh, yeah, yeah. It was like a fluff piece. It was like a fluff piece. They'd be like, oh, yeah, there was a mass UFO sighting. And they'd be laughing while they're talking about it. And it was a big joke. You know, people would be laughing. Hey, did you hear that, Sam? And, you know, now it's a serious news report now when there's a UFO sighting. You know, they don't make jokes about it anymore.
Yep.
You know, and I feel like there's something to that, you know. I feel that they're definitely, especially the government. I mean, look, they've declassified a whole bunch of things. They have teams that are trying to figure out what, they're not aliens, but we have no idea what they are.
Yeah.
You know, but we're spending money to make all these teams to figure out what they are. Why, you know, that's what I'm saying. And actually, love them or hate them, right? But like 2 years ago, there was a news article. I can't think of the gentleman's name. I probably wouldn't be able to pronounce it, but he was the Israeli space commander, right? So this is a man that was high, ranking, very well respected guy. And he came out and said, listen, aliens exist. They're among us. And he even said, he goes, President Trump knows about it. And he wanted to expose it. Mm-hmm. But, they probably told him, like, listen, if you come out and say this, especially during the pandemic, there's going to be mass chaos. You know, people are going to be doing all sorts of crazy stuff if they find out that aliens exist.
I mean, look at how the world handled the pandemic, especially in the beginning when we didn't know what it was. And people were afraid. People were angry. People were, so to find out about aliens at the same time, can you imagine what the world would have gone through?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, and then of course there probably would have been storming places like, oh, we want to see this, we want to see that. There probably would be people breaking into Area 51 and all these other places.
Well, they tried. Remember?
Yeah, I know they tried. Yeah.
Or that was the plan. I don't think they actually made it. I think there was a handful of people that actually showed up for it.
Right. Right. And they probably got chased away by the government. But no, I do believe that they're getting closer and closer to actually telling us, we already know, but for them to actually come out and say, yeah, all right, you guys were right. that there's aliens, but cause look, your own Navy pilots said that they saw, things. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's interesting to find that governments now in North America are putting together or have put together a team to investigate UFOs, which they don't call them UFOs anymore.
UAPs.
UAPs?
Yeah.
Okay. So same. Now they want to investigate past. I still got to have to call them UFOs. They're actually investigating all these UFO experiences that people are having. So that to me tells me something too.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would you spend government money on something if you mm-hmm. that's the thing, I mean, I just feel like I think we're very close. I think probably within a couple of years or something like that, we're going to find out like really everything, even this new team that they put together of 17 people with all these scientists and all these, very, very smart people. They said that the program is going to be strictly like completely transparent. Like everything is going to be put out there, whatever they find.
I hope that's true.
And then
just throwing us a bone,
Right. Right. I mean, but how many bones can you throw? That's what I'm saying. Like, eventually you're going to have to just come out and say it, but they're probably, that might be a strategy also. That might be a tactic. Like, all right, let's string them along so that when we finally do come out and say it, they're like, yeah, we do, and it's not going to be so much of a shock anymore because mm-hmm. we've been stringing them along for how many years,
Give them enough information to keep them happy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was the funny thing too, that came out last year or 2 years ago, the UAP report that came out 2 years ago was 40 pages, something like that. And they said that it was space debris, one of the causes could be space debris.
Well, there is a lot of space debris, but yeah.
But what was funny was that they had five different things that it could be. And then the last one was or it could be unknown. All right. That's what we're trying to say. It's unknown,
Maybe they're trying to word it that way because they don't want to cause mass panic too. you know, give us a little bit of information at a time instead of just giving us everything. And I would imagine that would cause mass hysteria globally. So I feel maybe just giving us a little bit at a time, maybe they're just trying to do that to kind of, you know, keep the masses from storming the hill, you know?
And here's the thing too. Like, I feel like I definitely believe in it, right? I feel like obviously they're not here to harm us because they're not going to wait for us to know about them before they, you know, they're not gonna be like, well, then they know about us now. Let's blow up the earth. Like, they would have did that already. Mm-hmm. They're not going to wait for us to know everything about them and then do something. You know what I mean? Like, if they've been here for how many thousands of years, they would have taken over this place thousands of years ago. Mm. You know, they wouldn't wait for us to know who they are. You know, that's how I see it, at least.
I've always questioned too, because they always say there are like the good aliens and the bad aliens, of course, you know, and are the good ones protecting us from the real, from the really bad ones, you know, because you get a lot of people having bad experiences with alien abductions and stuff like that. And some people have really good experiences. And it just makes me wonder if we are being protected from the real nasty ones out there.
Do you believe in the reptilians?
I don't know.
Me neither.
I do believe in extraterrestrials, but I don't know in what form. Really don't.
I mean, obviously, the most common is the Zeta Reticulus, the Grays. You know, that's the biggest one.
The way that people, I don't think I've ever been abducted. I don't feel like I ever have. But from listening to other people's encounters, it sounds just like when us humans are researching a particular, I don't know, say bears, and they're tracking them, and they have devices to find out where they're actually migrating and everything. And every once in a while, they tranquilize them and make sure that they're healthy and all that. It sounds exactly like what these aliens are doing to us, trying to know more about, they're researching us. But then, like humans, you're going to be having the good aliens and then the bad ones.
Have you ever seen any UFOs or anything?
I've seen lights twice. Once I was a teenager, back home in New Brunswick, and a bunch of us, me and my friends, were out at this beach. It's like a camping area as well, and we're all laying down on the picnic tables, and we're just looking at the stars. And there's this one star in particular, zooms one way, zooms the other way, you know, and it's just all over the place, moving quickly. And it's the size of a star, but stars don't move that way. And if it was like a meteor or something like that, it doesn't fall and all of a sudden go up and then go to the left, or, you know. So my dad, I had to ask him, I said, do you know, because he's always been into aviation, and actually had a good friend that was a air traffic controller back home. And I asked him, like, do you know of any aircraft that could do something like that? Is like, no, kiddo, I don't know any aircraft that could do that. So we all believe that was a UFO. And then there was another time I was in British Columbia visiting my grandparents many years ago, and we're driving on the highway, and all of a sudden this big light comes out of nowhere on the left. And my grandfather thought that, you know, there's only a field, there's no road there. And this light all of a sudden just appears, and it's starting to get bigger, and it's coming towards us, and it just kind of disappeared. And we're just like, did you just, like, what? The next day on the radio station, a whole bunch of people had called in saying about the light that they saw. So my grandfather and I just kind of looked at each other, and it's like, oh, and he used to be a pilot during World War II. And plus he worked for Air Canada, was a pilot for them too for many years. So apparently he's seen some pretty strange things in the air. But yeah, he says, yeah, that could have been that was a very strange light. So he was convinced, and so was I, that was some kind of alien. Don't know what or why, but it was strange.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Actually, I had mentioned it to Brian and Al. I'm like, you know, I live upstate now. I said, where, like, right near Pine Bush, because that's where this museum was. And mm-hmm. Pine Bush was apparently like a UFO superhighway, you know, years ago. And I'm like, but I've never seen anything. And Al's like, you will. You will. I'm like, And I work at night. Like sometimes I go to work at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I'm like always looking, I have to, cause I take this long, dark road, right? That's the highway. There's no street lights or anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm looking up in the air for UFOs. I'm looking in the bushes to see if I see Bigfoot. You know, yeah. I'm like, I want to see something. I'm going to take a picture of this freaking thing. I'm going to take a picture. I promise I'm going to get a picture of them, but I'm probably going to freak out though. I'm probably forget to take a picture.
Do you have a dash cam?
I do not. No, I should probably get one though.
Yeah,
I should.
Just yeah, for not for accidents, is just to see if you pick right. something up.
yeah.
Do you have
true.
Your phone ready or a camera ready when you're driving like that, just in case?
Well, yeah, I have my phone like kind of on my dashboard,
yeah.
you know, sticking there. So I could yeah. always just grab it and, you know, yeah. but who knows, you know, like you don't know how fast you're going to be like that's. And that's actually what somebody had told me once when I also said like, yeah, but how come all these pictures always come out blurry? You know, like, well, you got to think about it. If these things happen in the spur of the moment so fast, so you're not going to stand there and say, but if you were to stand there and say, all right, let me get a steady hand or let me, it's going to be over, you know? So I'm like, all right, I understand that. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I get that. I always explain that, like my family and I, especially when the kids were wee, would go out for walks in the woods, you know, with the dog and everything. And sometimes you'd see a couple of deer and I would take a picture thinking, great, got great pictures. But then I look at my camera, my phone, and it's like, oh, son of a biscuit, it's blurry. And it's just a couple of deer, you know, and then by the time you go to take another picture, they're gone. So right. I don't know, maybe it's like, you know, I'm calm and I want to take the picture. Right. So, you know, I can only imagine, I've never encountered a cryptid up and close like that. So it can only be traumatizing and exciting at the same time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't know how, there's gotta be so much like preparation. And like so much work just to, for like Al and Brian to like go out and do these investigations. Just, I mean, cause you think about it, they're out there for hours.
Yeah.
How do you know exactly where you're going to walk, where you're going to go? You know, it's gotta be so much research involved in that, you know, just to do that sort of thing. You know, it's one thing to go to a haunted house. Like, all right, well, I know this place is haunted, yep. set up some cameras and maybe you'll catch something or, you know, EVPs. But if you're going out in the woods,
yeah,
you know, where these things, they obviously don't want to be seen. They don't want you to know that they're there. So they're going to be, you know, they don't want to come up close to you, you know, so that they're going to try and stay away from you for the most part. So they're going to be very, very difficult to find. You know,
yep.
That's the one thing, like it's gotta be so much, you know, so much preparation to go into that sort of thing.
Yeah. Brian and Al, they're so lucky. They've encountered pretty much everything the paranormal community has to offer. I mean, they're just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And I mean, it's funny too, because people are like, I believe every word that those two guys say.
Yep.
I believe every word. They're not. I'm a prison guard. Mm-hmm. I know con artists. Those two guys are telling the truth. They're not con artists at all. You know, like they're being completely truthful with everything that they're saying. You know, that's what I loved talking about them. You know, talking with them. Because I was like, wow. I mean, I believed every single word that they were saying. They had me on the edge of my seat for some of the stuff they were saying. You know, which was cool. And I hope it kept people that were listening, you know, on the edge of their seat as well.
I've heard their stories. And when I heard them on your show, I was kept at the edge of my seat. So,
yeah, I mean, and it's funny too, because like I said to them, like, you know, I never really delved into cryptids until I started the podcast. I didn't really much about them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, of course, everybody's heard of Bigfoot. The Loch Ness Monster is basically a hoax, but people are still seeing it. You know, stuff like that. But I mean, I had never heard of the Dog Man, you know, and some of these other things, you know, so it's pretty crazy. Some of these creatures and stuff that are coming out or that have been around that are being discovered now.
Yeah, the Dogman fascinates me because ever since I'm a little girl watching Scooby-Doo, I've always been fascinated with Lugaru, which is a form of werewolf, Rugaru in a lot of parts of the States, like the Cajun parts. So when I found out about Dogman, I thought that sounds kind of like a werewolf. So they're all different, but kind of like in the same classification, if I'm understanding it correctly. But Dogman fascinates me, and I hope to never want to see one because I would much rather see a Bigfoot than a Dogman just from listening to other people's encounters. They are a lot nastier than Sasquatch.
Right, right. I mean, maybe I'm overthinking it, but I still think of Sasquatch as Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
It's probably, you know, that comes to my mind. Not the movies, not the found footage movies of Bigfoot. No, Harry and the Hendersons come to mind when I think of Bigfoot. You know, but
not the Patterson film. Patterson right, Gimlin. Right. That's Harry and the Hendersons.
Right, Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
It's funny too, because after hearing about Dogman and all that, I grew up and I lived in Staten Island most of my life, which is a borough, the forgotten borough of New York City. And a lot of history, a lot of haunted locations there. And my friend, actually the friend that I was telling you about, that me and him always, you know, he had a very strong paranormal sensitivity. He used to work, of all places, he was the night security guard at a cemetery and a very popular cemetery at that. And he had said that, I don't think he saw it at that cemetery. I think he saw it at a different cemetery, but I remember his story. I don't talk to him anymore. We lost touch, or we haven't talked in a long time, but I remember him telling me like 20 years ago that he had seen, for lack of a better term, a dog man. And he had described what people are describing as dog man now. That's what he described to me 20 something years ago. And I was like, you probably saw a dog, or you probably saw this, you didn't hear about it then, mm-hmm. you know, but I mean, now I'm like, holy crap, he probably really did see it, you know, because Staten Island is a very paranormal place, you know. It has a lot of paranormal energy in there, you know, from, you know, battles that were fought from the Revolutionary War to some of the Declaration of Independence being signed around there, and you know, a lot of history on Staten Island. But so that's why, like, every time I think of the Dogman, I think about him telling me that story too, which was, you know, now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, holy crap, he must have really seen that then.
You're not as crazy as I thought.
But yeah, I mean, is that the one, is as far as cryptids go, is that the one that like kind of scares you the most, is probably like the dog man or like the thought, like the, I guess the thought of him, right? Because
yeah, just because of the aggression level. Because I've heard, you know, we've all heard different encounters when it comes to Bigfoot. Some of them are very peaceful and they're trying to help people. And then there's the other spectrum where, you know, it's like all hell broke loose with the Bigfoot. But so far with the Dogman, you haven't really heard any good encounters. And like I said, because I was so fascinated with Lugaru, werewolves growing up, that's my favorite cryptid. The Dogman is probably my favorite one as well, but do I ever want to see one? No, unless it's in a safe environment. But hearing people's encounters, there doesn't seem to be any good experiences so far.
Yeah. I'd like to see like a Bigfoot or something like that. Yeah, Dogman, I don't know, but I'd like to see like a Bigfoot or actually, I think, was it Al that said that he'd seen a Thunderbird, or was that Brian?
I think it was Al. I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure it was Al.
That would be cool to see also, like this gigantic, you know, this gigantic bird like that would be pretty crazy to see. You know, I would just think that you'd be seeing like a dinosaur, you know, like a pterodactyl or something, you know, which would be pretty crazy. But I mean, look, there's only so much of the world that we've explored. So have you ever been on like an actual paranormal investigation?
Yeah, I belong to a team here called Canadian Supernatural Research Society in the Ottawa Valley here in Ontario. We haven't done too much the past couple of years because of COVID, and I actually I'm taking a little hiatus from it. Just I have other things going on. So I told the girls that I won't be able to do much investigating right now. And plus, to be honest, I have a hard time bouncing back from those late nights. You know, the older I get, I just can't do the all-nighters anymore. It takes me like a week, literally, to be able to get my energy back. Not like when I was younger, but yeah, we've done some investigations here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually how it was with me when I was playing in a cover band, in a rock band. You know, it's the same type of thing. You know, I'd be out until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning playing at a bar, and then I'd have to go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. I can't do that anymore. You know, it's just, no. I don't have the energy. I'm 42 years old. I don't have the energy at all to do any of that stuff. I mean, I'd love to still play though, but, yeah, I've never actually been on a real investigation. No. Cause I've just, you know, I started this corrections job when I was 26 years old. So it's been pretty much corrections.
But my husband is very religious. I'm more spiritual. So he doesn't like it when I go on investigations, but I will ask before I leave for an investigation. It's like, yeah, just can you give me a little protection prayer there, you know, and makes him feel better, makes me feel better. But we also do little prayers right before an investigation. We sage, we have crystals on us. And at the end of the investigation, we always say, you're not allowed to follow any of us home. That's not happening. So, and we do sage afterwards a lot of times too, not always, but most of the time we'll just to make sure that we're cleansed and that nothing negative would attach themselves to us.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
The nice thing about being a paranormal investigator and podcaster is you get to meet so many people in the para community. And I've had the pleasure of meeting an archbishop and a sister. And if anything ever goes south during investigation, something that we can't handle. I don't know if you know who Michelle DeRocher is. She's very well known in Canada and in the States. She's done, she handles the more intense cases that I don't even want to think about. So it's nice to know that if we are doing an investigation and it is beyond us, that we do have the big guns that we could call in and say, yeah, we kind of need some help with this. But so far, knock on wood, we haven't had to do that.
That's like, you know, we're interested in this stuff, but not to that extent.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
I think we actually covered a lot, actually. We
I think so, yeah. We just, cryptids, ghosts, demons, aliens.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much the whole gamut of things, right?
Yeah.
One thing I actually would love to have on my show, I don't know if you've done way more shows than I ever have, but have you ever had anybody that's practiced with the kinesises, you know, the telekinesis or pyrokinesis or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of, no. I haven't. That would be interesting to speak to an individual like that, though.
Yeah, I mean, that was like, I've been looking on like Facebook groups and stuff like that, and there are Facebook groups about it, but it's never anybody like, oh yeah, you know, I lit my chair on fire today or something like that. You know, like it's never anything like that. So, you know, but I'm looking for somebody as far as that, somebody like that knows some stuff about time travel or alternate dimensions, you know, something a little bit different than the normal stuff that I talk about. But I say it all the time, and I'm sure you agree with me, like the paranormal community, I cannot pick a favorite guest that I've had on. No, I love everybody.
Yep.
And there's such good people. Every single person, minus one guy that I've never put on, but everybody, I mean, such good people, you know, I mean, so accepting, very down to earth. Yep. Somebody that's a skeptic or somebody that's not really into it, they're like, oh, well, you probably meet a lot of crazy. Like, no, I mean, everybody that I've talked to, even at the Paracon, just normal people, you know, like everybody's been real nice, very accepting, very friendly. You know, I can't say anything bad about anybody that I've come across, really.
I have to say that the majority of guests that I've had on my show, I've developed a friendship with them, that I speak with them, not necessarily every day, but quite often, you know. It's just amazing. Years ago, when the paranormal started becoming a little bit more acceptable after all the TV shows started, there was a lot of drama out there, a lot of hate. And people started getting fed up with that. And I feel like people just started banding together and not putting up with the bullies, you know, if you will. And now you have, you know, para-unity is thrown around a lot, but there is para-unity now. I mean, more and more people, podcasters, investigators, you know, anybody in the para community, we're raising each other up. We want to listen to each other's stories. You know, tell me about what, like, we'll be talking to another team. And it's like, tell me or tell us what you've experienced. Let's try and get all this data together and see if we can get a correlation. It just seems to be so many more people now are like, yeah, I'm not dealing with the drama anymore. And right. I've been so fortunate. Like, I have a lot of great people in the community that are just such great friends and knowledgeable. And, yeah, it's been good.
And there's no competition either. No. That's what I love about it too. There's absolutely no competition, you know, which I think is so great. I mean, even in the podcast community as well, there's no competition, which I guess because the market is so saturated, you know, like as far as the paranormal community, we're all kind of in it for the same thing. We want to find answers. We want to find, well, we know that it exists, but we want to find like legitimate proof that people are just going to be like, yeah, I can't deny that. You know, that's the technology is a curse. It's a good thing and it's a curse at the same time, because now everybody, you could catch something really, really good on camera and then just be like, ah, it's fake. Oh, good editing job. Yeah. Oh, good photoshopping. I didn't photoshop it. Yeah, you did. No, I didn't. You know, but they'll never believe you because Photoshop is out there and it's amazing. And you can create ghosts and all sorts of craziness with Photoshop, especially nowadays. Like, you could edit, you know, do movies, do visual, like make movies just straight on your computer with special effects and all that.
Even so, your phone, there's some pretty good apps. Like, if you have an iPhone, there's a called iMovie, I think it's called. You can do amazing stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, nobody's ever going to believe the footage that's out there. Mm-hmm. And that's actually where I was going when I said that to Alan and Brian as well. I'm like, you know, I feel like it's pointless to fake anything anymore because it's so saturated. Like, all these TV shows, all this stuff, you're not even going to get 5 minutes of fame, let alone 15 minutes of fame, if you have a picture of a ghost, because nobody's going to believe it.
Yeah, they just pick apart at it.
What's the point of even trying to fake something anymore? Because you're not going to get anything out of it.
So thank you so much, Joe, for doing this collaboration with me. I had a great time. And for my listeners, can you tell them where they can find you and your show?
So they can find the Warped Reality Podcast on all the major podcasting platforms. You can find me, Ghost Joe, you can go to TikTok or Instagram. There's a Facebook group for the Warped Reality Podcast. You could go on there as well and find me there. Or you could, you know, email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. Or you could call my the Warped Reality Podcast hotline at 845-600-0744. And, you know, let me know your paranormal experience, or, you know, you could just tell me you hate the show, you know, whatever you want to do. That's all good.
Just call me.
That's all right. How about you? How can people get in touch with the Paranormal Hearts podcast?
Podbean and YouTube are my two major platforms, but they're pretty much everywhere. I'm also on KPNL Network, on Digital Network on Thursday nights. But pretty much anywhere is like iHeart, Spotify. I'm pretty much wherever you can find podcasts. And if anybody wants to talk about paranormal, you can reach me at paranormalheart13@gmail.com. But I'm also on TikTok, Twitter. I'm on Instagram. For my show notes, I usually add all the links. So I'll be adding yours as well there. So everyone will be able to find you a lot easier.
Same. Oh, very good. All right. Thanks a lot, Kat.
Thank you so much.
So that's going to do it for me, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Kat Ward for the awesome podcast collaboration. We had a great time doing this. We had a very, very long talk. And it was just so great. If you guys actually want to hear the entire thing, please let me know at 845-600-0744. You could also do that if you have any paranormal experiences or if you'd like to be a guest on the show as well. Please give me a call on that number, leave me a message, or you could email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. On the next episode, premiering on February 10th, it's the Valentine's Day episode. So we're going to talk some Valentine's Day stuff, have some of our regular segments back, Haunted eBay, I Read It on Reddit, and possibly even a tiny terrifying tale. And of course, Chris Whitehouse of the Whitehouse Investigations segment, and Horrible Reviews with Edgegrave Dave, where he reviews My Bloody Valentine. So please stay tuned for that. Check that out. Check out Cat Ward's Paranormal Hearts podcast. Check out the Paranoia Radio podcast. And go out and buy Chris Whitehouse's book as well. All right? So have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warprealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or warprealitypodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.